Yes, we are back and we are joined by Idris Khamisa. And the topic that we are discussing is how to deal with disappointment. Brother Idris, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, doing very well. And yourself, Idris bhai?
Alhamdulillah. I'm doing very, very good. Alhamdulillah. As I was... There was a pause there because I was just bidding farewell to my beloved wife and my mother-in-law, you know?
Yes.
I said goodbye to them. I'm just leaving now.
Okay.
How are you doing?
All good. At least we're enjoying it was a bit cold, but now I see today it's warmed up a bit. I don't know if there's another cold front coming this weekend, but we are all doing good here in Johannesburg. How is things your side?
Alhamdulillah. Beautiful weather here. Alhamdulillah. And I say, no matter what the weather is, if, you know, people around you, people that you care for, people that love you are warm towards you. So they say, whatever the weather, you shall weather the weather, whether you like it or not.
Yes, definitely. And at least, unfortunately, Marjan Ajasad, unable to make the program. He is recently went for a root canal, so he's still recovering from that. But we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gets a speedy recovery.
Allah give him complete shifa, inshallah.
Ameen. Yes, at least, the topic that we're discussing today is how to deal with depression. And it's something that many people can relate to, that at some point in your life, there are highs and lows in your life. You do feel sad when you lose something, when you lose someone. But it's all about managing that sadness and not letting lead to depression.
You see, that's a point. You know, the reason why I'm sharing this with you is that in the recent past, more than any other time, when you speak to people, when you speak to a father, he's disappointed with his son, you speak to a couple, they're disappointed with their spouses, you speak to an employee, he's disappointed with the employer, and so on and so forth. You know, disappointments are, you know, a part of life, you know. And the word disappointment, I would not even use the word disappointment. You know, I would merely say that things did not turn out how you expected them to be. And that's part of life, you know, and it's painful. I mean, I was speaking to a brother of another faith just now, and he was telling me, you know, he asked me, what do I do? I said, I'm a motivational speaker. So you are telling me, you know, people require a lot of motivation. So I was telling him, you know, that life is such, you know, I said that as you rightly indicated, Maulana, you'll have your ups and downs. And it's about how you manage it. And the critical thing is to have the right attitude. Because Allah told us, reminded us, that Allah will test us. And those that He loves, He tests them all. And that it's about how we deal with the test. And we need to understand with every heartache there is ease. So it's important that, you know, Allah will not give you a life with relentless pain. He'll also give you ease. And eternal ease will only come in the Akhirah.
Yes, if we look in to the Quranic ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks on many occasions. Allah says that we will test you either with taking your wealth, taking someone that was close to you, the shortage of food. Other places Allah says that once you have brought iman, then we will test you to see who is truthful. And then in the end Allah says that وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, that the glad tidings, and you know, those people who bear patience, those people who then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these situations. And really for a Muslim, this is one thing that always gives us hope, that whenever we are feeling depressed, whenever we are feeling sad, whenever we are going through some difficulty, we are not alone in that difficulty, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always with us, and we can always call out and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, you know, there are two fundamental things. The thing is how blessed we are that when you're going through some challenge, when you show sabr, Allah rewards you for it. And when you're going through good tidings, wonderful things are happening to you, you show gratitude. So in gratitude, Allah rewards you. And showing sabr, Allah rewards you. But there is another dimension to all of this. The other dimension is this, that you know what? You have to recognize that nothing happens except with the will of Allah. And what we often forget is sometimes you get some people, no matter, you know, when you meet them, no matter what they might have gone through, they never ever show you any visible signs that they are afflicted. They never show you, even when they are in hospital, they are smiling, they are engaging. They'll ask you, Idris bhai, how are you feeling? How are you? I say, no, brother, we came to see you. Say, no, no, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So we must not assume that another person is having a great time, you know, because in the end, Allah knows best, and there are those individuals, Allah bless them, they never complain, they never moan, they accept Allah's fate, you know, with decorum, with dignity, and without complaining.
Yes, there is, you know, this is why you find these people. Wherever you meet them, they're sort of jolly, happy, you know, smiling. And sometimes you can meet them, as you say, in a hospital, or you meet them, they, you know, something happened to them. And when you leave there, you sort of feel more happy and you feel better of yourself because of the attitude that that person had showed. And it just shows it's not that they're not suffering. It's everyone will be tested and everyone has their own difficulties. Everyone has to walk their own path. But it's just the way that they deal with it. And we can learn from that, that if you are jolly, if you are happy, yes, at night, you, if you want, you make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just by showing and being positive, this can reflect on someone else, and can also, then that sadness that you were feeling can also, can relieve you of that sadness as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Maulana, the bottom line is this, that, you know, there's always a tomorrow. That you don't know what tomorrow, you know, how it will unfold. You know, you don't know. Like, you know, there are people, you know, who persevere. They never give up. They try different things. They believe completely, and as we should, that Allah is indeed the provider. They believe completely that nothing happens except the will of Allah. And in the end, what happens is this. Because see what my concern basically is this. That some of us are so preoccupied with our own challenges that as a result we cut ourselves from society, we cut ourselves from members of our family, we don't even speak to them, they have to speculate as to what you might be going through, and as a result of it all, you find that you get into what you call into an introspective mood, you get into depression, and people around you also find it very, very challenging, and therefore, there are a few fundamental things, inshallah, you know, we can do.
Yes, just a reminder to the listeners that the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548, or you could WhatsApp us, that is 072-786-1548, or you could even SMS us, that is 48855. And interact with us at least by likes to hear feedback from the listeners. So tell us that how do you, or what have you found that helps you when you are going through a difficult period, if you are dealing with some sadness, how does it help you? And at least by just on that point where you mentioned, you said that always looking at the positives, that a phrase that we always hear and is commonly spoken about is we say that, you know, every cloud has a silver lining. And this is a very short phrase with a lot of meaning, actually. It encourages us to look at the bright side to life's disappointments and disasters. And you know, sometimes we get irritated by missing a bus, or sometimes we get irritated by missing a flight or by missing a meeting, but we don't know what good Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in it. Maybe that bus, or maybe that car, or maybe that flight, there was some problem with it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved us in this way. So a very good attitude to have is that always look for the positives.
Yeah, you've got to look for the positives. You see, because of our own humanity, our humanness, We do not see Allah's mercy in the tragedy. Those that have a beautiful inner eye and are connected to Allah and His beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they, you know, they understand, they see it, and I think it's very, very important the way we deal with that, you know. And it's something, it's an attitudinal thing, and we need to take it from there, inshallah.
You know, just on that, there's one story of, you know, one person, and he used to serve the king, and whenever anything would happen, he would say to the king, in you know, Isma bi khair, that in it there is also some good. Anything wrong would go, he would, this was his phrase, that he would say that in it there is some good as well. And once he was going, hunting with the king, and the king, the gun sort of backfired and shot his thumb off. So this person at that time looked at the king and he said, you know what, in that also there is some goodness. The king then became angry and put this person in jail. And because how can you say something like that? You know, my finger just got shot off and you're saying that there is some goodness in it. And then many years later, this king was then going again on a hunting trip, and people captured him and they wanted to eat him, people that live in the jungle. And then they told the they looked at the king and they saw that he doesn't have a finger. So he said, we don't eat people who are deformed, and they let the king go. At that time, the king remembered, you know, my servant used to say that there is always something good in everything. So he freed him from prison. So the king apologized to him and said that, you know what, I'm sorry I put you in prison. You were true that there was some good in it. So the person said, you know what, even in going to prison, there was some good. So the king was astonished. He said, how can you say that? That you spent half your so many years in prison and you're saying there was some good in it. He said to the king, you know what, if you didn't put me in prison, I would have been with you on that hunting trip, and there's nothing wrong with me, so those people would have eaten me.
Yes, you know, it's a very powerful point that you are raising, that, you know, we need to understand the whole picture, understand it. You know, we tend to respond to the immediate and the now. We don't respond to, you know, the situation completely. And I think this is a point. You see, the point is this, and really, I mean, having said that, you know, I make dua, inshallah, that, you know, that Allah makes it easy, that the challenges we face are few and far between, and that we, as individuals, you know, we know exactly what to do and how we should go about doing it, and we never say, inshallah, you know, why me, you know? And yes. And the thing is this, the critical, I mean, is it not ironical that they say that the people who are unwell, that their prayers are accepted? I mean, they are in a very special position, are they not? So I think we need to understand that, you know. We need to understand that in the end, it's our attitude, and in the end, what we need to do is to be very, very purposeful, and we need to go ahead. And because therefore you find sometimes, you know, some people say, I'll never get out of it, I cannot extricate myself from it. So therefore I'll be very, very grateful that my beloved listeners, and I love them so much, that they would participate, engage, and share with us some of the positive experiences, because we can learn from them, inshallah.
Yes, definitely. The number to call is 011-854-1548. This time, if you look at it more specifically, and you find sometimes a person is going through this test where he can't find a job, or every job that he goes to, there is some problem, and he's then relieved of that job. Or sometimes even a lady at home or a young girl at home, she has a desire to get married, but there's only been failed attempts to do so. And this could lead a person towards depression. And so how does one manage that, and how does one manage these disappointments in life?
Okay. Can we just have a little break here, and I will engage you in 5 minutes, all right?
Okay, no problem. We'll go for a short break, and inshallah, we will be back with Idris Bhai. Welcome back to Al Mashriq on Radio Islam International. Idris Bhai is with us again, and we'd like to welcome him back to the program. Idris Bhai, welcome back to the program.
Jazakumullah. It's good to be back, Maulana.
Yes, Idris Bhai, we were speaking about disappointment and what it, the effects of this can be. And if you look at people have asked that if you are, you know, sometimes working or you are trying to look for a job, and wherever you go, you sort of get turned down. And the same with maybe a young girl who's in the house who wants to get married, but also is not finding the right partner. This could sort of lead to being disappointed, could lead to depression. So are there ways to handle these sort of situations?
Yes, you know, the thing is, you know, firstly, we need to acknowledge that some people really go through some incredible challenges, you know. But we are reminded that Allah will not give you a burden that you cannot bear. But what is important is this, that we must not be dismissive. When people go through challenges, you know, Allah forbid that the iman becomes weak. Allah forbid that they decide to lead the fold of Islam. You know what I'm saying? Because I think there is a critical aspect that we need to first bear in mind, that we are in this world, and this world is not a Jannah. Jannah is only the Akhirah. It's about how we deal with situations in this world. Inshallah, will help us to attain Jannah. Now, the question is that, you know, they say if you do the same things the same way every day, you must expect the same results. Although we are told that Allah judges us by the effort and not the outcome, and the outcome doesn't go according to, what you envision, then you need to relook at your methodology, how you got there, and perhaps you need to review it. And the critical thing is this. I would suggest, five basic things about disappointment. I think one of the things that you've got to bear in mind, that we are told you must never compare yourself materially with someone that has got more than you. Look at someone that's got less than you. And I think you also need to understand that a lot of people go through a lot of things. So the first thing is this, Avya, is we've got to make sure that our level of taqwa, we have a lot of taqwa, very, very important. The second thing is we must have a profound and deep understanding of the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once you understand that, you understand what he went through, and he was a gift from Allah, the most beautiful creation, what did he go through? Then the third important aspect is this, that they say, prayer is a very important thing. We've got to constantly pray to Allah, right? And the fourth thing is this, that, it's important to speak to your family members or people that you know, because revealing is healing. And once you speak to people, you feel much better. Sometimes I remember once when all of us go through different kind of challenges. And sometimes I'll just phone my friends. They say hello to them. Hello and whatnot and everything else. And without even sharing what I'm going through, I feel much better. I feel a sense of exhilaration to hear the voices. Because sometimes what happens is that, once you go through a situation, you become very insular and isolated,
Yes, definitely. And we do have a caller on the line. If this guy will take that call, and then maybe we can see what advice they can share with us. Assalamu alaikum.
Salam, how are you, boy?
Alhamdulillah, how are you doing?
Okay, boy, concerning depression. Depression, the only person that you can confide in and come right is Allah. If you got confidence in Allah, I don't think you'll ever get it. I sometimes I feel down, and I go on to that musalla, and I plead with Allah, Ya Allah, take me out from this situation. When you, after a while, you see what happens to you. The miracle that he performs is unreal.
Yes, definitely, Appa, and that is a very important point. It is by that, and that to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to cry on that musalla, and that in that way you will find the outcome.
Yeah, Allah is he's Ghafur Rahim.
Allah bless you for such a beautiful, beautiful call, And when you cry to Allah, sometimes you say to Allah, you cry, you say, Ya Allah, you know what I'm going through, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, I leave the matter with you, Ya Allah, and you, I know, will give me the solution. You feel so relieved. You feel, although your situation is the same, but you feel so relieved. You have full conviction. Full conviction.
Yeah, boy, and one thing, I tell you, you can turn to your friends. Sometimes they are in different moods, but Allah is always there for you. He's got no mood. He takes you in every way, anytime he listens to you.
You're right, sister.
Yeah,
and therefore, we must put Allah in our heart completely, inshallah.
Yeah,
and you see, that's the point, my beloved brothers and sisters. You must always have high expectations from Allah. You must have high expectations. Ask for the best in this world and the akhirah. Say, Ya Allah, I know that you're going to help me, Allah. You are going to help me. You are Ghafur Rahim. You are merciful, Ya Allah. Jazakumullah, sister.
Jazakumullah, sister.
Boy, thank you for the lovely program. Your programs are always very, educational and, I like your programs a lot.
Now make dua. Allah gives us ikhlas. Allah bless you for your kind sentiments, inshallah.
Okay, ameen.
Assalamualaikum. We do have another call on the line. Maybe we can just take that caller before we continue with the discussion as well. Assalamualaikum.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. I would just like to share regarding depression, and that if we have to open the Quran and read from Surah Baqarah, ayats 155, 156, and 157, where Allah Ta'ala says that most definitely we will test you to see whether you exercise sabr with a little bit of fear, with hunger, and with a shortage in wealth. Life, the test is by way of illness, death, difficulties, and fruit produced and products. So give good news of entering Jannah to those who exercise sabr. So Allah is telling us in the Quran that I am going to put you through this. So yes, when we go through the depression, if we open these ayats and we follow up with the next two ayats, I'm not going to read it out, but I'm sure the listeners can open the Quran and read it there. That way we can go and read this and get solace from here, knowing that Allah has tested us. But by us reciting Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, then definitely He will replace us with better.
Yes, that is true. Jazakumullah for that very inspiring call. Yes, it leads by, we look at that and you know that that Allah is giving you a solace. Allah is saying that if you bear and you make patience, then definitely you will be successful.
Yes, you know, Maulana, this is so important. I'm glad we're having this discussion. You know, sometimes, you know, we look at people that are leading comfortable lives, alhamdulillah, and I make dua that, you know, Allah doesn't, test us in a way that will weaken our iman, and Allah doesn't do that. And the point is this, we assume that Allah is more gracious to those individuals, that Allah loves them more than the person who's going through poverty. And that's an erroneous notion. Allah doesn't love you less. Your status will be so high. I pray, inshallah, that whoever Allah has given them wealth, may that wealth be a blessing for them. And whoever Allah has subjected them to poverty, may poverty also be a blessing. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam chose a life of poverty over a life of affluence.
Yes, that is true. And when we look at this, and the lady, or she mentioned that we look into Quran and we'll find stories that give us motivation and inspire us as well. We look in the story of Yaqub alayhi salam, that how his son was taken away from him, and then he lost his eyesight, and then the other son was also taken away from him, and all of this. And in the end, he would say that, you know what, I will speak to my Allah, I will ask for my Allah. I'm not asking you, I'm not complaining to you, but rather I'm asking for my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned his family to him, and they were all once again together, and that brought him happiness, returned his eyesight as well. And you'll find in history that many people who were successful, many people who achieved great things in the beginning part of their lives, they were disappointed, they were failures. But it's about being strong, staying strong, and definitely in the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring that success to you.
You know, Maulana, there's a book that I got. It's called Wayfarer to God. It's a series of lectures given by Habib Ali Jaffrey to the sisters in Abu Dhabi. And I'm so glad I thought about it now. You know, he asked a question of the sisters. He says, tell me, were you disappointed when your husband forgot to buy you a gift? Or were you disappointed that this morning your son got up, he never read his Fajr Salah? Are your disappointments based on your relationship with Allah and his beloved Rasul, or your disappointments are based on this material world? I thought it was so powerful. It was so, so powerful that if you look at our disappointments, it's often about material things, you know, or about our own issues, mundane issues. And I think, you know, our disappointment should be the time when we are not in doing what we expect to do in terms of Islamic obligations. Our disappointments must be when we commit sins. Our disappointments must be when we hurt people. Our disappointments must be that when we look at pornographic material. Our disappointments must be when we hurt another human being. Our disappointments must be that we do not read the Quran. Our disappointments must be when we don't do the right things. And if our disappointments is in that line, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Because there is an Allah who knows what's your intention. Allah knows exactly, you know, who we are. And Allah is forgiving.
That's true indeed. And when we look, and we, like you mentioned earlier, that we shouldn't compare ourselves to the next person when it comes with regards to material things. That person once cried because he had no shoes, but he looked at the next person who he did not have any feet. So when we look at this year, it sort of makes us appreciate, and then that sort of saves us from being disappointed, especially when it comes to the luxuries of this world. And a very pertinent point to make there, at least by about how many of us are disappointed when we do not read our Fajr Salah, or when our children are not going to the masjid, yet if they come home with, or rather if we find that they had some material loss, or they lost something, they lost a cell phone, then we are very disappointed. So it's all about getting priorities and setting it, and in that way we'll save ourselves from a lot of disappointment as well.
Absolutely, and that's the point. We need to redefine what is success. You know, when you tell someone, Alhamdulillah, Muhammad Bai's sons are, Alhamdulillah, very successful. In your mind, what you're thinking? They've got fancy cars, a fancy home, you know what I mean? All of those fancy stuff. But what is true success from the Allah's perspective? What is true success? And true success is when you do things and you are in obedience to Allah. True success is when you would not cheat, you would not exploit people. True success is when you are generous to other people. True success is that you are true to your word. So I think that's the point. We need to go back and redefine success from an Islamic perspective. You know, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah.
Yes, that person who will save himself from the fire of Jahannam and will be entered into Jannah, that is a successful person. And the road that leads to that is obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, following the sunnah tariqah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that way you will be successful not only in the year after, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring you peace of mind, and you will be successful in this world as well. And you find that, it is by sometimes we don't understand how fortunate we are, and we are not grateful and think how fortunate we are, because I read somewhere in this week that if you have food in your fridge, like after a meal, if you can put food in your fridge, then you are amongst the 4% of the richest people in the world. So sometimes we don't understand that. We look at other parts of the world, other countries, and the suffering and things that they are going through. It will really then show us to be more grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and won't lead us to being disappointed when we don't get that smart present, or we're not having that smart car, or we can't wear that smart clothes.
Yes, you know what you're saying is right. You know, if you look around, show gratitude. The fact that you're eating a meal, the fact that you are doing it on your own, unaided as it were, in the sense that you're not an invalid, the fact that you got shelter and all of that, you know, you cannot put value on it, you know. And I remember, you know, may Allah grant Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib the highest status in Jannah. Okay. You know, he said, you ask someone, okay, I'll give you a million rand. Give me one of your eyes. Give me give me that. You know, you won't give it, because you realize that no amount of money can ever, ever compensate you for the loss of one limb, for the loss of your eye, and all of those things, you know. And Maulana, whilst I'm here, I want to remind people about our marriage conference on the 30th of July at Stanton Center. And if they can go on to the website marriageconference.org, we're getting many dynamic speakers. I would also be speaking there. It's wonderful, an opportunity to listen to dynamic speakers, an opportunity to go for workshops, and also, inshallah, in a halal way, people are looking for spouses. They need to, for example, fill in a form. So, inshallah, I don't want people to forget the date. They can go to the website. It's called marriageconference.org. Marriageconference.org. And they need to, we have started selling tickets. You can purchase the tickets. And I'm looking forward to, seeing all our wonderful listeners from Radio Islam.
Yes, many people have already called in and asked about this program. And as you mentioned, Idris Bhai will be speaking. I have seen the website myself, and amongst the speakers, also my Ibrahim Baum will also be there. So definitely something that people are looking forward to. And it's good that Idris Bhai also pointed out, to find more information, you can go to that website. Idris Bhai, sister also shares a great message just on this topic of being disappointed. And they say that there is a hadith that says that Allah treats you according to your expectations. So if you expect good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you such, and your burdens will also be lighted, so will be lighter. And it's something that we hear also, you know, that they say you should always hope for the best. Prepare for the worst, but hope for the best. And in that way, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans it in that way, that you expected this, and then Allah does it in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you know, and this part I especially want to address my most beloved sisters. Statistically, you know, they say women outlive men statistically. There are exceptions to that rule. And often the wife will ask the beloved husband, he said, my darling, you know, and if you... when you die, and who'll look after me? And then we need to remind them that the same Allah, you know, that took care of you whilst I'm alive will take care of you. So it's very, very important for our sisters not to be dependent on brothers, sisters, brother-in-laws, or the community for support. You must open your heart out to Allah and say, Ya Allah, I know you're not going to forsake me. I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to do that. Because remember something, Allah has his own way of dealing with situations. So you've got to open your heart out to Allah and have complete, complete faith in him, inshallah, and that will make a difference.
Yes, it is, but just on that point that you mentioned, if you look and some of these stats may be correct, some not, but they say that you find and you study that you'll find that women suffer more from disappointment than men. Is there any specific reason for this, or how should it be handled, and how should you come through that period if you are disappointed as a woman?
You see, I think, you know, you need to be firstly optimistic, and the thing here is, you know, what happens that you must not exaggerate your disappointment. You know, you'll get disappointed, but it does not mean it's the end of the world. You've got to see it in perspective, see the big picture. And once you see the big picture, it makes a big difference. And you see, an important thing is this, that therefore, for example, you might be disappointed in your husband. I'm not talking about when he does something naughty, but you might just be disappointed. And what you need to do is you've got to look at your husband again and look at his effort. He's got no control of the outcome. If he is trying his level best to do something for you, you must show appreciation. You must be happy that he's doing it. And that is, for me, fundamental. It is very, very critical that happens. Because you might have two brothers, and one brother may not work as hard as the other, but, you know, Allah has given him more materially. Then you say to your husband, you know, why can't you be smart like your brother? Why can't you do this? Yet he makes more effort. So everything, if you understand, comes from Allah, and it's very important for us to recognize it. And also, you know, there are days, you know, you feel down, but remember, you must not see it as a permanent part of your life. That you feel down now is part of life. That you must say, there's always a tomorrow, there's always sunlight, there's always day after night. And once you understand that, it will make a very, very a big difference. And if you find that you cannot cope with something, then speak to people that can help you, you know, meet people, and they will help you, inshallah. And in the end, I think we have to be optimistic. A believer must be optimistic, inshallah. In that way, if you're not optimistic, then you don't do things confidently. You say, I think I'm wasting my time. It's an exercise in futility. Or I'm wasting my time praying, you know. And Allah forbid that we go through that challenge. And may Allah, you know, really make it easy, because there are many individuals who are going through challenges. But those individuals that got taqwa, who are optimistic, who speak about the situation, feel great.
Yes, when we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept that dua. Either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it in this world and grant you that very same thing that you had asked for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will relieve you of some other burden. And lastly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely reward a person in the year after for all the dua he made and for all the times that he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least as we are on this point and we're coming towards the end, there's one question that has been asked, and it says that we find many times people have the attitude that, you know, maybe they've been disappointed so many times in their life, so they sort of give this and they have this as a motto of their life, that, you know what, if you aim low, you'll avoid all disappointments. You'll, you know, don't expect anything, don't just, you know, don't ever think of achieving anything, and in that way you will never be disappointed. And this attitude or this sort of motto could be, you know, very dangerous.
It is, because the bend in the road is not the end in the road. You don't know what tomorrow holds for you. And you see, as a believer, you never aim low. We are born to lead. You know, we must inspire humanity. We must do great things. You know, they say it's better to have tried and failed than not to have tried at all. There are many people, there's a book called, you know, Failing Forward. You learn more from failure than from successes. And it's important. You got to keep on trying. Never, ever give up. Never, ever give up. And you find that you must be inspired by the Prophet. You must say, no, I'll continue. I will persevere. I believe in myself. I know there is Allah that is caring. There is Allah that is compassionate. There is Allah that loves me. There is Allah wants the best out of me.
Yes, and that is why Allah says in the Quran that la ta'asu min rawhillah, that do not become despondent in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this hopelessness that a person sort of feels is the one thing above all that that will rob the heart of peace. And a person, when does he feel hopeless? This hopelessness is when he believes he cannot expect his conditions to improve. And we shouldn't have this sort of attitude. Our conditions will improve, like it is by saying there is just a curve. It's not the end of the road. And if we keep all of this in mind, we will stay motivated, we'll stay inspired, and we won't let it get us down. We'll wake up every day. Every day is a new day, and you can achieve maybe something you failed at yesterday. You can achieve it today. You know, they say if you haven't failed at anything, you haven't tried something new. So you might fail 5 or 6 or 7 times, but maybe at the 8th time you will get it right.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, you know what, the whole thing is this, that if you understand it's a test. You got to understand, you got to be amongst people that are positive, not toxic people. And also one important point is this, you know, you get some people that are only pessimistic. You need to ask yourself, why am I like this? You know, look back at your childhood experiences and then eliminate it. And once you eliminate it, you say, no, I don't want to go through that particular pattern. I'm definitely going to change. I'm going to be positive, and I'll see what a big difference. You know, there's a saying that goes, I can understand when a child is afraid of the dark, but I can never forgive a man who's afraid of the light.
Just coming towards the end of the program, I'll just read you some of the messages that have come through. It says that gives out sadaqah, it will help in every situation. And this is something also that when you are feeling down and when you are feeling a bit disappointed, reach out and help others. That could improve your situation as well.
No, that's very, very powerful. When you are generous to other people, their du'as, when you uplift other people, you find that you realize that you're leading a meaningful life. And we must give people hope and optimism all the time.
Yes, Idrisa, we have come to the end of the program. Maybe some closing advices, closing comments from your side?
You know what? For me, the critical thing is, remember, there's no tomorrow. There's only now. And you've got to change your attitude, be positive, and say, I'm going to do something. Have goals, have purpose in your life. Go and forgive, go and do the right things. Don't sit there, don't be a moan and groaner. Don't feel sorry for yourself, you know. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Go out there and make a difference. There's so much you need to be thankful for. Some people might say, well, you don't understand what I'm going through. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, that everyone goes through some challenge. But there are those individuals who are positive and who can extricate themselves, who pray to Allah and, you know, surrender themselves to Him. So I pray, inshallah, that my beautiful, wonderful listeners, Allah gives them peace of mind at home, peace of mind in the prayers, and may the Ramadan be the best Ramadan, inshallah.
Jazakumullah, Aziz Bhai.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. So that was Aziz Bhai Khamisa speaking to us about how to deal with disappointment. And you should know that as you face disappointment, it's natural to hurt. But don't let that pain deprive you of hope for a better tomorrow. But stay motivated, be optimistic that today you might have failed, tomorrow you might succeed. Don't let that hopelessness get you down. And that is what when people start to suffer and then you have where you cannot sleep or you cannot wake up, you just want to sleep. So don't let any sort of disappointment or depression get you down, but rather hope for a better tomorrow. For myself, Ibrahim Daya, and our studio operator, Siad, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.